Welcome to ID the Future. The following talk is by John West, Associate Director of the Center for Science and Culture. Dr. West will be discussing social implications stemming from a Darwinian approach to explaining human origins. It was recorded at a recent Science and Human Origins conference. Here's Dr. West.
Third, another traditional belief about humans eroded by Darwinian theory is the idea that humans have a spiritual purpose. In the Judeo-Christian tradition, humans have eternal souls and their lives serve a higher purpose because they were intentionally created by a loving God. But if Darwinism really proves that life is the product of a blind and unguided process, then God is either impotent or more likely non-existent. And if God doesn't exist, there's no higher spiritual purpose to human life. Indeed, there's no likelihood that human beings have eternal souls. It should be no surprise, then, that according to a survey by researchers at Cornell University of leading scientists in the field of evolution, 87% deny the existence of God, and 88% disbelieve in any life after death. The claim that Darwinian science somehow disproves the existence of God or the reality of the spiritual aspect of human life can have tremendous consequences, as the family of college student Jesse Kilgore discovered.
In the fall of 2008, in woods in upstate New York, the body of college student Jesse Kilgore was discovered with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Enrolled at Jefferson Community College, Jesse had become despondent after being urged by one of his professors to read The God Delusion by Richard Dawkins. An evolutionary biologist, Dawkins argued that science refutes belief in God. According to friends, Jesse found his faith destroyed as he read Dawkins' book. Afraid to tell his father, Jesse hid the book under his bed, where it was found after his death.
Even those who don't lose their belief in God because of Darwinian theory may give up their belief in an active and all-powerful God. Thus, it's increasingly popular among many Christian proponents of evolution to claim that because evolution is an unguided process, God himself doesn't guide it. Indeed, God may not even know how evolution will turn out. In this view, human life is no longer something specifically intended or planned by God. Accordingly, we have Catholic priest and former head of the Vatican Observatory, George Coyne, proclaiming that not even God could know with certainty that human life would come to be. Because again, if evolution, in a Darwinian sense of evolution, is an unguided, undirected process, not even God could know with certainty that we would be sitting here or that we would come to be. Or you have Christian biologist Ken Miller of Brown University, whose book Finding Darwin's God is used in many Christian colleges, including the college that I used to be a professor at, says on one of his pages that he agrees with the view that mankind's appearance on this planet was not preordained, that we are here as an afterthought, a minor detail, a happenstance in a history that might just as well have left us out. Our ideas about science and human origins matter. Okay, finally, a final belief about humans eroded by Darwinian theory is the sanctity and value of human life. We don't have time to explore this in the depth that I would like, but I'd like to mention an historical example and then discuss the way in which this sort of thinking erodes the sanctity of life today. The historical example is scientific racism. Now, I want to be careful here. Darwin was not the world's first racist. There were many non-Darwinists who were racist, and he was better than some racists in that he opposed slavery. But Darwin nevertheless helped fuel a virulent form of scientific racism by proposing that natural selection was a scientific explanation for why we should expect different races to have very different capacities, because natural selection acts on different populations subjected to different selection pressures, and so why would we expect the human populations who are being acted on by natural selection to come out the same? So although Darwin himself believed, as he wrote, that there's no fundamental difference between man and the higher mammals in our mental capacities, he maintained that there are significant differences in the mental faculties of what he called, quote, men of distinct races, unquote. Moreover, he contended that the break in evolutionary history between apes and humans came, quote, between the Negro or Australian, I think he means Australian Aborigine, and the gorilla, unquote. This was in his book, The Descent of Man. Thus, in his view, blacks were the closest human beings to apes. Darwin's view inspired a whole generation of scientists, like his friend Ernst Haeckel in Germany, who became preoccupied with trying to use evolution to classify races according to their presumed evolutionary history and how close they were to our evolutionary origins in ape-like creatures. This kind of Darwinian racism had some horrific consequences, which we'll explore in just a moment. But as an example, Darwinian biologists became preoccupied with coming up with these diagrams showing the history of races from their view of higher to lower. And this was one created by Ernst Haeckel that was published in a lot of textbooks and was very popular for a long time. And as you can see at the top left-hand corner, you have the Teutonic male, Germanic Teutonic male, white, who is supposed to be the supreme. On the bottom, you have some ape-like creatures. But note in the middle, where really you have between, in the second row, number 6 and number 7. That is the break between the lowest human, in Haeckel's view, and the highest ape-like form. And a point that Haeckel made with this diagram was that the gulf between the highest human and the lowest human was far more significant than the break between the lowest human and the highest ape. That was one of the takeaway points from this diagram. Our ideas about science and human origins matter. This kind of Darwinian racism had a horrific real-world impact on, among other things, Western colonialism in Africa, especially in German Southwest Africa prior to World War I.
Between 1904 and 1908, the German military attempted to eradicate the Herero people in Southwest Africa, in what some scholars consider the first genocide of the 20th century. On October the 2nd, 1904, General Lothar von Trotha issued what became known as his extermination order, declaring that the Hereros either had to leave German Southwest Africa or face extinction. Herero men would be executed, and Herero women and children would be driven into the desert where they would die of starvation or dehydration. Von Trotha justified his extermination campaign by an explicit appeal to social Darwinism, telling one newspaper that human feelings of philanthropy could not override the law of Darwin's The Struggle of the Fittest. When von Trotha's extermination campaign provoked a backlash in Germany, a new plan was developed to move the remaining Hereros to concentration camps, where many more would ultimately die from malnutrition, disease, and exhaustion. In these death camps, the Hereros were subjected to medical experiments by German doctors, and their skulls were collected for shipment back to Germany to be studied by experts in racial science. By 1908, it's estimated that more than 80% of the Herero people had been eliminated from German Southwest Africa. Back in Europe, meanwhile, German military leaders prepared for the next conflict on their continent.
This lecture was recorded at a Science and Human Origins conference in the fall of 2014. The conference featured John West, Casey Luskin, Ann Gager, and Rick Sternberg talking about the fossil, genetic, and social issues surrounding the debate over human origins. We will be featuring these speakers on future episodes of ID the Future. For more information, please visit idthefuture.com. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2014. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.